Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamminetti.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
This is the second time we're recording this episode. Grace did not get her own title right the first time, but I did not get the recording of it. So unfortunately,
Matt, how dare you tell everyone? How dare you tell everyone about my flub?
I'm sorry. But I will remind you that if you are not in our Patreon feed, yesterday I finally got around to dropping the bonus content that I had for my interview with Angie Schwor. That is a Patreon exclusive. A great conversation talking about her time, a little bit extra time of her in Florida. She asked about where I live in Florida, so I told her about Celebration. She also shared some wisdom that she learned through her years of auditioning. So if you want to hear that, head over to patreon.com/broadwayradio, broadwayradio.com/patreon, and subscribe at the mezzanine tier or above. All right, Grace, we're going to start off with some news in New York City before we get to some places around the country and around the world. But this announcement, I think, is really interesting and has a lot of compelling factors that I want to dive into. But we already knew that the Atlantic Theater Company was going to be producing the world premiere of Cheyenne Lotfi's new play, What Became of Us. The show is about a set of siblings. It's a two-hander. One was born there and one was born here. And that's a direct quote, and you'll understand why they don't name the country here in a second. The play examines how they maintain their connections to the old country, to this country, and to each other. Well, yesterday, the Atlantic Theater Company not only announced the cast of this show, they announced the casts of this show, because there will be two sets of actors that'll be doing this show at different times during the run. And that was actually always the intention of the show. Lofty said in a statement, quote, "My intention for this piece has always been that the roles would alternate between separate pairings of actors from different diasporic backgrounds. I am thrilled that Atlantic has supported this by bringing together this remarkable cast." So the first group of actors will play the show from May 17th through June 15th. The second set of actors will do it from June 10th through June 29th. For 4 days, or for four performances over a few days, June 11th through the 13th, both casts will perform, and you will have an opportunity to do like a double feature and go back to back to see each group. The first cast, running from May 17th through June 15th, will be Joy Luck Club star Rosalind Chow and M. Butterfly Tony winner B.D. Wong, your friend Grace. And then taking over on June 10th, after that little overlap, will be House of Saddam Emmy winner and Oscar nominee Shariah Agdash-Shaloon and Tony winner and all-around TV star Tony Shalhoub. This, I think, Grace, is incredibly interesting. Obviously, not only does it support the playwright's original intention for this piece, but it also speaks pretty heavily about like the level of talent that they were able to get to do this show. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how the different ethnic backgrounds of these two actor pairings maybe perhaps changes how some of this play feels, whether that is from an East Asian or Middle Eastern perspective. I think it is very interesting to see whether or not the knowledge of where these people come from impacts the actual text that Lofty has written.
Yeah, I think that like it's really smart if they've got like a multi-buyer, you know, if they've got some subscribers or otherwise, you know, just like interested theater goers to say, hey, buy tickets to both of these shows. Why not? Like, this is super smart. I think it's really exciting to, it's like when, you know, everyone was doing that rabbit play downtown. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you would see a different actor.
White Rabbit,
do it.
Red Rabbit, White or something.
Rabbit. Yeah. And this kind of reminds me of the scenario of seeing people that might say, oh, I want to see it all these different times. It's like how people collect different Orpheuses, like Infinity Stones. You know, you never, people just love watching all these people. And Rosalind Chow specifically, like, besides, you know, my love for B.D. Wong, but like, Rosalind is an incredible actress. Like, that is so cool to me that she is doing this show. And they're really similar in age. So I feel like the sibling dynamic really makes sense and really works. I'm kind of hoping that my mom can come up because I would die to take her to see this production, especially with those two cast members. So it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shariah Agdash-Shaloon is probably one of my favorite, if not my top three or four favorite cast members all time on the TV show 24, which I watched religiously. I think she is fantastic. And to see her play opposite Tony Shalhoub should be a lot of fun. All right, let's go from off-Broadway to Broadway with another show that has an absolutely dynamite cast. Yesterday, Second Stage Theater announced that Paula Vogel's Mother play will be pushing back its first preview. It was originally set to begin performances on Tuesday of next week, April 2nd. They are going to delay just by one day and will now begin performances at the Helen Hayes Theater on April 3rd. This, as of now, should not impact its opening night on April 25th, especially because, Grace, as you know, that's the last day of Tony eligibility. So they have to get it open by the 25th. Otherwise, they're going to be pushed to the 2024-2025 season, and I don't anticipate that happening. This is directed by Tina Landau, who is one of the best. And the show, not a two-hander, is a three-hander, but has just as much star power, if not even more, than the show we just talked about. It features Tony winner Celia Keenan-Bolger, Emmy winner Jim Parsons, and Oscar, Emmy, and Tony winner Jessica Lange. And I mean, honestly, Grace, this is like a cornucopia and a bounty of talent when you consider what's on stage, not to mention the director and the playwright as well.
I think it's funny that Jim Parsons said, "A man of no importance, no, but Mother, yes." Like, there's something about that funny to me. But yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, and Paula Vogel returning to Broadway for a new show is really exciting. I think Tina Landau's direction of this is going to be really stellar. I've just been pumped about it. I really have no context, and nor do I even really care. This is one of those shows where I was like, the less I know, the better. Like, I actually just want to go in blind and experience her text on some really, really astonishing actors. So I'm just pumped for Mother.
All right, let's take a trip across the Atlantic Ocean and another show that has some significant star power and is going to have a lot of people excited. Yesterday, they announced another principal cast member for the upcoming UK premiere of The Devil Wears Prada musical. We already knew that the legendary Vanessa Williams would be playing Miranda Priestley. But now we know who is going to be playing Nigel. Now, Nigel, of course, is the role that was originally played by Stanley Tucci in the film and then played by Javier Munoz in the world premiere in Chicago. In the London production, it'll be played by Olivier Award winner Matt Henry. Henry won his Olivier for playing the role of Lola in Kinky Boots. So what I think is interesting about this, Grace, is when Vanessa Williams was originally cast, I think you flagged the fact that like this really presents a different dynamic when Miranda Priestley, who's the one with all the power in this show, is played by a black woman. And Andy, we don't know who's playing Andy at this point, but over in Chicago, Andy was played by a black woman, Taylor Armand Jones, and Miranda was played by a white woman, Beth Level. We don't know what that specific power dynamic is going to look like in this production, but the fact that now Nigel, another person of significant power in the show, is being played by a black man, I think that really create some compelling storytelling and how it might be significantly different and substantively different than what we were used to in the film.
It's nice. I mean, I famously the fashion hierarchy has almost always been primarily white male dominated. And I think that there's just something different about this story. I mean, we've gotten much further from the text, the original text, that's kind of loosely based on a prominent fashion figurehead at Vogue. And
big sunglasses. Very well known. Yeah.
Sunglasses, likes to go to the theater. But I think that you're probably looking at a more dynamic group. And I think that's really exciting. I think that it helps alter a lot of the kind of like, frankly, like boring tropes of a piece that could be like this, you know. So I'm hopeful that it changes how that text is also received, but also like the way that the actors are getting to play this is more than just kind of like an Ugly Betty Strikes Back. This is a different story. So that's exciting.
Absolutely. And so I'm assuming we will have more information about this show in the coming months because it is scheduled to begin performances on July 6th at the Theatre Royal Plymouth. It is going to play a limited engagement and then it is going to open in the West End at the Dominion Theatre on October 24th. All right, let's head back to the Broadway and talk about last week's Broadway grosses. Overall, Broadway picked up one extra show. That was Limpika that began performances last week. We'll talk more about that here in a second. And the grosses went up 2%. mainly because there was that one new show, but then also more shows that are in previews picked up performances because a lot of the shows, in fact, the vast majority of shows saw week to week declines coming off of the first spring break week. But overall, Broadway brought in a box office total of $28,519,828. That was up 2% from the previous week. Attendance also rose 5%, just about 10,000 people to come in at 229,911 folks, but the average ticket price declined to $124.05. Half of the 26 shows on Broadway did gross over $1 million, 13 of the 26, and then 21 of the 26 productions on Broadway last week had 90% capacity or above. But at the top of the list, The Lion King grossed $2,062,066. Wicked was also north of $2 million. Hamilton was in third place at $1.95 million. Merrily was at $1.6 million. And MJ, the musical, was at $1.5 million. The rest of the shows north of seven figures in descending order are Moulin Rouge, Sweeney Todd, again, seven performances, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Aladdin, Back to the Future, Hadestown, and Anne Juliet. The Book of Mormon was just a handful of tickets away from doing it as well. One thing that does stand out to me, Grace, and I think is probably worth a little bit of a deeper discussion, is the fact that Limpika had six performances last week, and that is different than how a lot of other shows this season have been kind of getting the ball rolling. Not that it matters a whole lot, but it didn't have just one or two performances to kind of get the gears going. But it grossed $395,859. Now, if you extrapolate that to an eight-show week, that is only going to come to about $528,000. That is significantly different than what we've seen from shows like Water for Elephants, The Outsiders, The Notebook, and even The Who's Tommy, where these things come in with significant IP power, and that is drawing folks in early on in their run. Limpika, while based on an actual real-life artist, does not kind of have that cachet. They certainly have plenty of time to kind of build up that word of mouth and notoriety in audiences. But for all of us theater people that have been like dying to see this show for 4 years or whatever, we're the outliers on the at this point. And as Limpika gets going and people start hearing about it, they start doing promotional stuff, whether that's performances or just increasing their ad buys. And then when awards nominations start happening, I'm sure that they will be just fine. But I do think it, you know, shows us that, especially in this season where there are so many shows, the power of IP. We kind of complain about how many IP shows are on Broadway, but like that does kind of show you why it's a little bit of a safer bet for shows that are based off something that people know and love, rather than something that is original or based off something that is obscure.
Yeah. You know, the argument is always like Broadway doesn't want original IP, blah, 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 which is always funny to me. One, because Broadway's not a person. Second of all, because let's dissect it for a second, right? Like Limpika is like, Tamara is a famous artist. Like she has note, right? People have discovered her work. People, you know, have talked about it. It wasn't, you know, some person like excavated her information Temple of Doom style. Like she is of note to artists, you know, in the world. But what I think is interesting is like Vanessa Hudgens is not playing her. Not that she's the most famous woman, but like Jessica Chastain isn't playing Tamara, right? So like you're looking at someone who doesn't have insane notoriety the same way, like if this was like Frida the musical, like she has a little less, mm-hmm. you know, note. But at the same time, like none of us can rely on any one thing. I think that we used to say, like even 2 years ago or 5 years ago, I guess, not counting the pandemic and everything, we would say things like, oh, if we can just get to opening, oh, if we can just get those times, you know, reviews, can we get those critics pick? Can we get blank, blank, blank as like the next benchmark? We're not really in a place to do that anymore. As you've seen, and I think what we saw last season is like no one is safe. And even like behemoth, you know, production companies and producers and everything are able to sustain a show for a little bit, but certainly not, you know, 6 months at this rate. You know, you could, I'm really focused on these next few weeks of all these new shows. You've got The Great Gatsby, you've got The Wiz, you've got, well, The Wiz is fine. They had an amazing out of town, right? And then they're at the Marquee and they're a limited run. But I'm looking at the new shows, Great Gatsby, existing IP doing all right. You know, you've got The Heart of Rock and Roll, very, very new original story, but existing, you know, music from Huey Lewis, but that's not, you know, this current demographic. So who knows, right? You've also got Illinois, you've got Limpika, you've got, what am I missing? Hell's Kitchen. So you've got Alicia Keys, but it's an original story. What else? There's so many, but all that to say is that like, no one can rely on one thing, even having a celebrity, even having existing IP, like nobody is safe. And so like, if you want to go see any of these shows, talk about them now, like talk about seeing them. If you have a great experience, like tell people, invite your friends, go see it more than once if you can. We're just not in a place to kind of like look for those benchmarks anymore of if they can sustain the next couple of weeks. We don't have that position. People are fighting for these theaters. I don't mean to say I'm like gloom and doom and scary, but like, we aren't in a position to just be like, okay, continuing to lose money in an already like really difficult business. So everyone's doing everything they can and no one has the right answer. Nobody specifically is like, oh, well, you know what? We actually got it. Like there's no one thing. Everyone's fighting for their lives out here. And I've talked to like every single person I know that works at every other agency or that works on any other show is having some of the same struggles. So we're all in this together, to quote Kenny Ortega and High School Musical.
Always comes back to High School Musical. All right, let's go out of town here real quick. And yesterday, the Shakespeare Theater Company announced its lineup of shows for the 2024-2025 season. And there's some really interesting stuff happening here. I'm going to run through them fairly quickly. But the season is going to start on September 10th with a production of William Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors. And what I love about this show is that it centers on a pair of twins. So what did they do? They went out and got two people who not only look alike, but played the same role on different sides of the Atlantic. Those actors are Alex Brightman and David Finn, who I've actually interviewed David Finn. I don't remember if it was here for Broadway Radio or for Broadway World, but they both played Dewey in School of Rock. Alex Brightman, of course, on Broadway, David Finn in the West End. So they're going to be playing the Dromio twins in that production. Simon Godwin is going to direct. Then we will also get the, I guess, East Coast regional premiere of the new play Babbitt by Joe DiPietro, based off on the novel by Sinclair Lewis. It's going to be directed by Christopher Ashley. That'll begin performances in October. This will star two-time Tony winner Matthew Broderick, who did the show out in California earlier this year, or I guess it must have been last year. And it will also feature Anne Harada, Matt McGrath, and Chris Myers. Then later in the season, we will get a production of Leopoldstadt in DC, a new play by John Connie, Con Cunini and the King, directed by the great Ruben Santiago Hudson. Then we will get a production of Uncle Vanya, which is going to be adapted by Connor McPherson and directed by Simon Godwin. This is going to be done in association with Berkeley Rep, and it will actually go out to Berkeley Rep as well. This one will star Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey and the Paddington movies as Uncle Vanya himself. And then we will get a production of a new adaptation of one of my favorite books of all time. This is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, adapted and directed by Emily Burns. That'll happen in June of next year. Then we will also have a return production in December of 2024 of All the Devils Are Here from Patrick Page, directed by Simon Godwin, who is the artistic director at the Shakespeare Theater Company. This is where the show began. So more official dates and details will be announced in the coming days and weeks. All right, Grace, two real quick shows that I want to mention here. The Edinburgh Fringe show, Ha 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 Ha, is going to be playing off-Broadway later this year at the Soho Playhouse. It'll begin performances on May 15th and is currently scheduled to run through June 8th. This is a comedy by Julia Massley, and it was a hit show at Fringe last year. It'll be coming to New York in May. It is actually getting ready to do a run in Australia at the International Comedy Festival in Melbourne. So that is one that seems right up your alley, Grace. And then yesterday, Playwrights Horizons also announced that it will host a 10th anniversary benefit reading of Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. The show by Anna Washburn was a huge hit for playwrights over a decade ago, and it'll have a two-day run on June 1st and June 2nd. It is a play by Anna Washburn that had music by the late, great Michael Friedman. All right, Grace, I don't have a recommendation for anybody today. Do you have anything that you want to throw out there that people keep an eye on?
Go see a show, damn it. If you can see a show, please go see one and see a new one. That's all.
That's a very good recommendation. I will also recommend that you pay attention to the news today because somebody is going to do the thing. Maybe for the third time. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. And you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me in a terminal airport, T Gates in Atlanta, Georgia, or you can find me at It's Grace Saki.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful hump day, and we will be back to talk to you tomorrow.